Hey, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Brownsbridge Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download the Brownsbridge Church app, where you can access all of our recent message content, as well as find out more information about Brownsbridge Church. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Since I've turned my life over to Christ, I've seen things change in ways that I did not expect.
I then realized that I hadn't been forgotten and I was never alone. Jesus had been with me through it all.
Since then, God has filled that longing in my life and has shown me the truth of His word. He pursued me at every step of this journey.
If I'm filled with uncertainty, I remember His promise that this path won't always be easy, but I'll never have to go alone. It brings me to tears when I think about this amazing gift of perfect love that we've been given, that Jesus, my King, died so that I may have eternal life.
For the first time in my life, I felt God's presence. I could no longer run from Him. I could no longer deny His existence. He was there and He kept me strong, not only for myself, but for my family as well.
God's love has changed me so much and given me an incredible sense of peace about who I am and who God has called me to be.
The summer after my junior year of high school, I was given the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Costa Rica through Inside Out with Brownsbridge. While I was in Costa Rica, I finally allowed God into the parts of my life that I'd been trying to keep to myself. I fully realized just how much He cares for and loves us, and that none of my problems could ever be too big or too small for Him.
After accepting Jesus as my Savior, I had the privilege of being involved in several small groups that pushed me, held me accountable, and helped me to mature in my faith and continually seek God.
Knowing and feeling the love of Christ has driven me to share this with others, as I've had the pleasure to do every Sunday as a transit small group leader.
Jesus has shown me that nothing can ever separate His love for me and that I am precious in His eyes, no matter what.
And I found love, acceptance, and the beginnings of peace. A few weeks later, I was assigned a Renew Mentor, and through those conversations, I realized that there were many lies about myself, God, and the world around me that I believed were true.
Over this last year, I had many challenges, but I never wavered in the fact that God will provide. And in the last year, if He hasn't changed my life, He's changed me.
I just want to tell everybody, I shout it from the rooftops, that He is my Lord and Savior. Not only do I believe in Him, I trust His will for my life.
Well, those were just a few glimpses of some of the stories that we have celebrated over the last couple years, stories of life change here at Brownsbridge Church. And when people share their stories, like we just saw, what they're doing is they're explaining how they put their faith in Jesus, you know, what led them to that decision. And then they're explaining the difference that He has made in their life as a result, the difference that following Jesus has made for them. And we get to celebrate that difference as a church when people go public and share their stories that way. And this is what we're talking about in this series. We've been talking about this idea of what's the difference over the last several weeks. You know, we have this thing that's inside of us that's constantly evaluating everything in our lives. And it's asking the question, what's the difference? You know, it comes out in different forms, but it's, hey, is this going to make any difference in my life? Is this going to help me save time? Is this going to help me save money? Is this going to help me get in shape? Is this going to help me be healthier? Is this going to help my relationships? Is this going to help my parenting? We look at everything in our lives and we ask, hey, is this thing really going to help me move forward in life? And what we're ultimately asking when we ask that question is we are asking, what's the difference? And we've said this each of the 4 weeks, that if it doesn't make any difference, we become indifferent towards it. We lose interest in whatever that thing is. We move away from it. We cancel the service. We return the product. We delete the app off our phone. We don't return to that restaurant. And one, as I was thinking the last couple of weeks, I was like, I think the one that's probably most common to us in here is that we cancel the gym membership. You know, we keep paying $20 a month or $50 a month or $120 a month. And, you know, finally that thing inside of us that's constantly going and asking the question, looking at everything in life, what's the difference? Finally, we see this isn't making any difference. And we cancel the gym membership. And what we talked about each of these 4 weeks is that we can do the same thing when it comes to faith. When it comes to faith, we can ask the question, what difference does it make? What difference does putting my faith in Jesus make? What difference does following Jesus really make in my life? And we all of us, non-Christians, Christians alike, we can drift towards a place or get to a place where we assume that following Jesus makes no difference. It makes no difference, at least to us personally. I mean, we hear stories like we just heard a minute ago, and we think to ourselves, you know what? I want that. I mean, we want to experience that. We want to experience those stories. We want to experience that freedom that person talked about, the freedom that they've experienced following Jesus. We want to experience the peace that person has, and I mean, they go through all sorts of trials in life, but yet they just remain so peaceful. We want that joy. You know, there's people in our lives where it seems like, wow, that person gets a lot of joy from their relationship with God, but I don't experience that. So we all get to that place where we tell ourselves, hey, what's the difference? I'm not seeing the difference in my life, and I want to experience those things. And there's a number of different reasons. There's a number of different things that can prevent us from experiencing the difference that Jesus can make in our lives. But today I want to talk about one culprit. I want to talk about one thing that has a tendency to take us away from the difference that Jesus wants to make in our life the most. I want to talk about the villain of fear. Now, fear can affect us in all of life. And this is not a Christian thing. This is not a religious thing. It's just a thing that fear can hold us back in our life. And it plays out in different ways. It can play out in really small ways. Like when we walk into the closet in the morning, we're trying to decide what we're going to wear. We're looking at different outfits. We're going, wait a second. You know, what are people going to think if I wear this outfit? You know, how am I going to come across, you know, if I wear this shirt? You know, it's after Easter, before Easter. Do we wear white? Do we not wear white? I can't remember, you know, what I'm supposed to do. It can play out on social media. That's another place that fear plays out all the time. Like we get ready to make that post and we're like, nah, I didn't like the angle that I took on that selfie. So I think I need to come up a little bit higher, you know, and get the selfie going right here. And then we spend 30 minutes getting the right filter put on it, make sure the caption is just right. And then we post it and we're like waiting for the responses. And if we don't get a lot of likes in those first few minutes, we end up taking it down. So we're thinking to ourselves, well, goodness, I don't know how this is coming across to other people. I fear how I'll be seen in this moment. So it plays out in small ways and it plays out in big ways. Fear affects us in big ways in our lives. It affects our relationships. We know that we need to have a conversation with somebody, a friend, a spouse, somebody we're dating. But we fear what the outcome may be. We fear how they might respond in that moment. So we don't step up and have the conversation. And as a result, the relationship stalls. This happens in our career as well. We're offered an opportunity. Someone sees something in us and says, hey, I'd like you to try this out. But we can fear taking that step because we're not guaranteed the outcome. Fear can affect our career and hold us back from taking steps and having the influence and the responsibility that we want. We can fear the future. In all seasons of life, we can fear the future. If you're a single adult, you can fear that you're never going to find the right person, never going to get married, or never going to get married again. If you're in between jobs, you can fear the future financially. You know, is the right opportunity going to come along that's going to provide a living for me? There's all sorts of things that we can fear. And anytime fear begins to rise up, we can sit in that fear. We can sit in that fear and it will prevent us from moving forward in that area of life. And the same thing is true with faith. That as we follow Jesus, we will run into things where we have a tendency to fear. We fear what the outcome may be if we follow Jesus in this one area. Or we fear the rejection of others. We fear how others might see us. And when we sit in that fear, we end up getting stuck in our relationship with God. We don't move forward. We don't experience the difference that he came to make in our lives. We don't take the steps that are going to help us grow into the person that he wants us to be. See, we've talked about this over the last 4 weeks, that following Jesus will make a difference in our lives. And the reality is we could spend an entire year talking about the different ways that he makes a difference. But over the last 4 weeks, we talked about several really important things. We talked about how following Jesus defines the relationship, that we have peace with God, through Jesus, I have peace with God. We don't have to worry about where we stand. We talked about how when we put our faith in Jesus, that there's a lot of ways that we used to live that they become our old self, and that we need to put off the old self, and that as we follow Jesus, he helps us do that. He helps us lay aside or get rid of those things that are no longer moving us forward. Last week, we talked about how we become new when we put our faith in Jesus, that he defines us differently, that how we identify ourselves, it changes. And that as we follow him, he helps us put on that new self and walk in that new life that he's given us. He teaches us as we follow him to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So following Jesus, as we've seen in this series, following Jesus will make a difference in our lives, but fear can prevent us from experiencing it. Fear can keep us from growing. Fear can keep us from taking those steps in front of us and experiencing the life that he wants us to experience as a result. Following Jesus will make a big difference in our lives, but fear can prevent us from experiencing it. And this has always been the case. Even in the first century, the early church, as they were just getting started, and they were sharing this good news of a resurrected Savior. And that word began to spread throughout the Mediterranean. They faced all sorts of challenges. They faced persecution. They faced death, some of them. You know, the Roman Empire was so powerful in that day, and they were set against this new movement of Christianity. They could be viewed as a fanatic. I mean, Christianity was considered a cult in those days. So to follow Jesus, to truly put your faith in him, meant that you were going to be viewed as a fanatic. You could lose your family. You could lose your life. And today it's different. It's different for us, the challenges we face. You know, we can be grateful that we can be in a church building like this today and not be fearful of being arrested for talking about Jesus. So we can be grateful for some things, but there's still plenty of challenges. I mean, Christianity is not popular. It's viewed negatively by many of the people in the circles that we run in. Barna has done research, organizations done tons of research, and they show that the majority of people in our culture today have a neutral to negative view of Christianity. People can view us as closed-minded, or they can wrongly assume that we're a certain way because of a way they were treated by a Christian or someone claiming to be a Christian early in their life or something they saw on TV one day, a television preacher, and they just assume, oh, you're with them. You must believe the same things. You must treat people the same way. We face all sorts of things. And that's why this church is so important. We want to change that in this community. We don't want God to feel distant to the people of this community. We want him to feel close. We don't want faith to seem irrelevant. We want people to see that faith can play out in a practical way in every area of life. And we don't want church to feel foreign. We don't want it to be this weird thing that like people go to. You know, we want church to feel like home. Ultimately, so that people experience the difference in their lives of following Jesus and putting their faith in him. But it won't happen if fear has the final say. It's no surprise that throughout the New Testament, fear was talked about over and over again. It's one of the most common commands in Scripture is do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And the Apostle Paul wrote about this on several occasions. And in one occasion, he was writing to his friend Timothy. Timothy was a young man. When Paul met him, he was traveling throughout the Mediterranean. He met Timothy and Timothy's mom, Timothy's whole family. And he shares the good news of Jesus with them. And they put their faith in Jesus. And Paul began this relationship with Timothy where he would write to him on multiple occasions. And on two of those occasions, those letters were preserved and they were passed around and shared in the early church. And eventually they found their way into our Bible, into our New Testament today. And Timothy was this young, timid leader. You can see it in Paul's writing to him. But Paul believed that there was a huge calling on Timothy's life. And as he wrote the second letter that we have, 2 Timothy, as he wrote this to Timothy, Paul was in prison in Rome. And we don't know how he knew this, but Paul knew that his days were numbered. He may have overheard something being said by a soldier. He may have been told directly, hey, here's, you know, you only have a few days left. But for whatever reason, he knew his days were numbered. And so many people refer to this letter as Paul's last will and testament. Imagine that for just a second. You've got somebody close to you in your life, a close friend, maybe a mentor, maybe a relative, and they know they're coming to an end. You know their life is coming to an end. And they call you close for one last conversation. They say, hey, I want to leave you with a few things. Can you imagine how much those words would weigh on you? Can you imagine how much that person would choose their words? They would choose their words to be the most impactful. Like, this is the message I want to leave you with. That's the context for this letter we're going to look at today as Paul writes to Timothy. And he says at the beginning of his letter, Paul says to Timothy, you've got a gift. You've got a gift, and I see a lot in your life. You're going to impact a lot of people, but not if you let fear get in the way. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Now, this would be easy for Paul to say, and it would also be easy for Timothy to dismiss if Paul was writing this from some castle up on the hill where he was, you know, behind the wall and there were soldiers guarding him. It'd be like, yeah, that's easy for you to say, do not fear. You've got your life figured out. Everything's safe. Everything's nice. But again, that's not where Paul's writing this from. He's writing it from prison. He knows that death is imminent. And yeah, there are soldiers around him, but those soldiers are not there to guard him. The soldiers quite possibly are the ones who will end his life in just a few days. And it was Paul's relationship with Jesus that got him in this place. Paul didn't get arrested for committing some crime. Paul was proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and he was arrested for that. And so as he thinks about these words, how am I gonna charge Timothy to this opportunity that's in front of him? How am I gonna encourage him or motivate him? He chooses these words. He says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Timothy, I'm facing some really hard things right now. I've been shipwrecked. I've been persecuted. I've faced all sorts of trouble, and now I'm in jail and my life is coming to an end. But I can tell you one thing, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And Timothy, you may face the same things. With what God is calling you to do, the impact that you're gonna make, you may face the same things. And when you do, you're gonna be tempted to let fear rise up and let fear win the day. But I want you to remember that God did not give you a spirit of fear. And if Paul could look through the centuries and see us today, he may say, look, you don't face the same things we're facing now, but there's plenty of things for you to fear. There's plenty of times and moments where fear begins to creep up inside of you. And in those moments, when fear hits, I want you to know it is not from your heavenly Father. God didn't give it to you. And so don't give in to it. Don't let fear win. God didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity. What did he give us? What did he give us, Paul? God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and self-discipline. God gave us a spirit of power, strength, might, ability. Ability to do what? Well, ability to overcome your fear and step into whatever God's inviting you to do. He gave us the spirit of love. Why is that important? Well, love overcomes fear. When you love something more than your fear, you will overcome your fear and move forward into whatever that thing is in front of you. Well, what does Timothy love? A spirit of love for who? Well, I think he's saying he gives you a spirit of love not only for your heavenly Father, your resurrected Savior, but also love for the people that you have the potential to reach and impact, Timothy. God's given you a spirit of love for them. And that love is stronger than your fear. Thirdly, he says a spirit of self-discipline. And this could be translated self-control. Think about this for a second. If God has given us a spirit of self-control and we are in control because of that, then what's not in control? Our fear. If God's given us a spirit of self-control, then our fear is not in control. So Paul encourages Timothy with this. He says, look, Timothy, you've got a big task in front of you, and you will face opposition. You'll face some really challenging things. And in those moments, you've got a decision to make. Are you gonna let fear win? Are you gonna give in to that fear? Or are you gonna take a step towards God, a courageous step in his direction, the direction that he's inviting you to move in and overcome your fear? And for Timothy, so much hung in the balance. Timothy ended up being a huge figure in the early church that impacted so many. He played a vital part in the good news being spread throughout that region. So much hung in the balance, the things he would face in the months and the years ahead. And what is it for you and me today? What hangs in the balance for us? What hangs in the balance that we would miss out on if we gave in to our fear? What's on the other side of our fear? Whatever it is, when we fear, we miss out on what God wants for us. We miss out on what God has for us. We miss out on what we could experience, the freedom and the peace and the joy that we could walk in. And this is the powerful thing about following Jesus. This is the powerful thing about putting our faith in him and living our lives in his direction. As we do that, we see and experience firsthand these words of Paul to Timothy. We experience firsthand that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And when we do, when we take those steps and we see God show up, we trust him more and our confidence in him grows more and more. We have confidence that he is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he'll do. So what's the difference? Following Jesus will lead you further than your fear. Following Jesus will lead you further than your fear. It'll lead you past your fear. Following Jesus will lead you around your fear. He'll lead you through your fear. And it won't hold you back. You no longer have to fear what the outcome may be. You no longer have to fear what those people may think. You no longer have to fear how your reputation may change among that group of people. No longer have to fear what people might see or how they might interpret it. And instead, as Jesus leads us further than our fears, he leads us past our fear, what we experience instead is courage. We experience the courage that comes from following Jesus. And if you think about it, courage is present almost any time a difference is made. You show me a time when a difference has been made or someone has experienced a difference in their life, and most likely you'll be able to point to some significant step of courage that was taken, that led to that moment, that led to the difference that was made. You see, courage precedes our difference-making moments. Think about your life. Think about those times in your life where a big difference was made. You could probably look back and go, yeah, it required courage for me to take that step. And I am so glad that I did because it made a huge difference in my life. That relationship, that career thing, that financial thing, you know, some opportunity in the church, some opportunity with your faith. You look back and go, yep, I remember feeling fear creep up in that moment, but I took a step of courage. And I'm so glad I did. And this is what Paul was saying to Timothy in the first century, 2,000 years ago. Have courage. Do not fear. And when a step is presented in front of you that you can take, Timothy, I want you to remember that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And let that reminder motivate you to step into whatever God is inviting you to do. And so today, I want to give you the opportunity to take a step of courage in your faith journey. If you are a follower of Jesus here today, if you've put your faith in Jesus, but you've never been baptized, I want you to be baptized today, as in this morning, just a few moments from now. I want you to be baptized today. If you've put your faith in Jesus and have never taken that step, today is the day I want you to take that courageous step and move in his direction. Now, you may hear that and you think to yourself, now, Adam, how in the world am I gonna get baptized today? I didn't bring a change of clothes. I can't, you know, I can't go get wet. Am I going to get baptized in this dress or this shirt or these pants? And I paid too much for these pants to get baptized in these pants. You may be thinking that, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. We've got 400 pairs of shorts, 400 pairs of shorts that are waiting on you. Okay. We've got 400 shirts that we printed out, limited edition Browns Bridge t-shirts that you get to keep after you get baptized today as a reminder of this courageous step that you took. You may be thinking to yourself, Adam, what about my hair? There's a large portion of people in the room that are thinking that. And guys, I just want you to know, the women are thinking it too. But you may be worried about your hair, but we got that. We thought through that as well. We've got hair dryers. We've got hair brushes. We've got hair detangler. I don't even know what detangler is, but we've got it. We've got it for you, okay? Your hair may look better on the way out than it looked on the way in, okay? We've got makeup remover. We'll help you remove your makeup. You may be thinking to yourself, well, Adam, what about pictures? I mean, if I'm going to do this, I want to make sure I've got pictures. We have professional photographers at every single tank that will take your picture and video your baptism so that you can remember this day, okay? Again, we've thought of everything. We've taken every obstacle out of the way for you. You may ask yourself today, hey, well, what will my family do? What will my family do? Here's the great thing. You're going to take just a few minutes and get ready to be baptized. And then your family is going to meet you on the lawn to celebrate with you. And if you're a parent that's, you're kind of a sole provider today of childcare, you're on your own with the kids, we've got a plan for that as well. Don't let that stop you. We will help you with your kids, okay? But today is the day. Today's the day. If you've never been baptized, I want you to take a courageous step and get baptized today. Now, we talk about baptism when, yeah, go ahead. We can clap for that. Yeah. Now, we talk about baptism. We typically talk about it in two or three sentences on a Sunday morning when people are getting baptized. So what I want to do is, because we're taking this huge step today, I want to take just a moment and talk about what baptism is and how we view baptism as a church. All right? So we're going to take a few minutes and do this, and then we're going to pray, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to take this courageous, courageous step. Now, one of the most famous verses in the New Testament is known as the Great Commission. And Jesus had all his disciples gathered up. This was after the resurrection. This was before he ascended into heaven. And he gives this charge. He gives this command. These were kind of his last words to the disciples. He says this, therefore, go and make disciples among all nations. Have people put their faith in me and follow me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So then you baptize them. You have them put their faith in me, begin following me. And then the next step is get baptized. Now, in the New Testament, the word baptize, anytime the word baptize is used, it comes from the Greek word baptizo. And in Greek, this is a normal word that people use every day. It's not necessarily religious. It means to wash or to soak or to plunge or to dip. And what happened was in the first century, they began to associate this word with what John the Baptist was doing and what the followers of Jesus were doing. Anytime they would do this ceremonial washing or this dipping to associate themselves with Jesus. And so they didn't know what else to call it. So they put the word baptizo on it. And so that's where we get our word baptize. So it simply means a way to associate ourselves with something. It's a dipping, a washing, a plunging to associate ourselves with something. Baptism is a public declaration of a new association. When you get baptized, you are going public with your faith to say that today I am declaring publicly that I have put my faith in Jesus. I am a follower of him. Now, typically when we go public through baptism, we do a video. All right, and I love the videos. The videos are incredible. It's what we saw just a few minutes ago at the beginning of this message. It's an incredible opportunity to share your story. In fact, you'll share it when you get baptized here and you film a video, you share it with thousands of people in one moment, probably more people than you'll share your story with the rest of your life. But today, there is no video, okay? Yes, some people are clapping for that. I understand. Listen, if you have been hung up on the video, today is your day, all right? T- Today's your day. I don't know when, if ever, we will do this again, all right? So if you've been hung up on the video, today's your day because there is no video. But there's no video, but it's still public. It is still a public profession of your faith. You're gonna get changed, and then you're gonna head out on the lawn, and your friends and family are gonna be there to see this. Our church is gonna be there to see this. We're not gonna make you get on the mic and like share your deepest, darkest sins before you get baptized. We won't do that to you. But our friends and family in our church will be out there to celebrate with you. So it will be a public declaration of a new association. Baptism is also a personal declaration of a new association. We believe that this is a decision you make. It's not a decision that was made for you. People will call our church often and they'll ask, they'll say, hey, we just had a baby. Can we baptize our baby at your church? And oftentimes it's people that don't even attend here. And they're just calling to see, they're trying to find someone that'll baptize their baby. And we don't have anything against infant baptism. We just don't do it because we believe that baptism is a personal decision. It's not a decision that your parents made for you. It's not a decision that was forced on you before you could really decide. It's a decision that you make. Someone else can't choose this for you. It's a personal declaration of a new association. And then lastly, baptism is not a condition of salvation. It's evidence of salvation. Okay, you don't get baptized to get in, quote unquote. Sometimes people view baptism, well, I better get baptized just in case, or I need to get baptized again just in case. No, baptism is a response to the fact that you're already, quote unquote, in. Baptism is a response to the fact that you've put your faith in Jesus and you've trusted him with your life. Now, if you've never prayed a prayer, you've never had a moment in your life where you have put your faith in Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity to do that today as well. I gave you the opportunity last week if you were here. And if you're here today and you say, hey, I've never done that. I've never had a moment in my life where I can say, hey, this is when I put my trust and my faith in Jesus. We will pray with you. You can come forward in just a few minutes as well. But today, if you've put your faith in Jesus and have not been baptized, today's the day. If you've got your kids with you and you want them to be baptized, upstreet age, transit age, we've got a really cool process for them, but today is not their day, okay? If you're 18 or older, today's the day. If you're a high schooler and you have your parent with you and they can sign off and give permission, today's your day as well. But here's the deal. In just a minute, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna ask you to come forward and we're not gonna embarrass you. You're just gonna make your way out of the aisle and you're gonna head out these doors to your right. If you're on the main level, there's three doors right down here to your right. If you're up in the balcony, we have a door over there to your right that you're gonna make your way through as well. And we're gonna have a host of people waiting on you. And they're gonna give you directions and next steps. They're gonna talk to you. They're gonna get you ready to be baptized. They're gonna give you your clothes to change into. And then your family is gonna meet you out on the lawn. And we're gonna celebrate with you with this courageous step that you have taken today. And again, if you've got kids and you're responsible for getting them, we will talk to you about that and get that worked out as well. But in just a second, I'm gonna pray. And when I start to pray, I just wanna invite you, if today's the day for you, if you're gonna take a courageous step in your faith journey and be baptized today, I just want you to stand up at your seat when I begin to pray. And then just remain standing right there as I pray. And when I say amen, the people around you will gladly move out of the way for you to make your way down the row and down the aisle and out these doors to the right. And not only will they make their way, move out of the way for you, they're gonna cheer and clap and celebrate, and they're gonna give some woo-hoos and some a little bit of shouting as well in celebration of the decision that you've made to follow Jesus today. The decision you've made to follow him after putting your faith in him, that he's calling you to move forward and take this step of baptism today. So, for the moms in the room, for the wives in the room, what's holding you back? What's preventing you from taking this step? Single adults, this could be a defining Sunday that you look back on in your life and go, wow, that was amazing. I am so glad that I had the courage to step up and take that step. Dads in the room, this may be one of the best things you can do to model your relationship with Jesus to your wife and to your kids. You've put your faith in Jesus, but you've never been baptized. Today is the day. So as I pray, you just stand up right at your chair. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, you have moved heaven and earth to come to us. Jesus, you became a man. You put on flesh. You became a human. Ultimately to die on the cross and to be resurrected to pay for our sins, to redeem us, to give us new life, to lead us to put off the old. Father, we thank you for that today. Thank you that salvation, that we can be saved in you and by trusting you and putting our faith in you. And God, all of us in here have things that we fear, things that hold us back. God, would you help us? Whether we're not a Christian today and we fear continuing to pursue you, or whether we are a Christian and that we were baptized years ago and but we're just kind of stuck in our journey, but we fear taking certain steps, God. Whatever it is for us, God, would you give us the courage to move towards you today? And God, for the person who's seated in the auditorium right now, who's wrestling with whether or not they should stand up. God, they've put their faith in you, but they've never followed in this obedient step, this courageous step of baptism. God, would you help them right now to just stand up? Help them have the courage to stand up in this moment and not fear what other people will think, not fear how are they gonna tell the story and explain it later. God, but they would just stand up right now and follow you. God, and as we celebrate today, whether it's one person getting baptized or 100 people getting baptized, God, we just celebrate what you're doing in our midst. We celebrate what you're doing in this community. We celebrate what you're doing in our lives personally. God, continue to make a huge difference in and through us. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you're a Forsyth County resident, I would love for you to attend one of the weekend gatherings at Brownsbridge Church. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, please visit us at brownsbridgechurch.org. brownsbridgechurch.org.